This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
He says about 1,000 people crossed over into Cameroon since Friday to escape violence in the lead up to the Central African Republic's December 27 election.
That's Moki Edwin Kinzeka reporting on refugees entering Cameroon from the Central African Republic. Details coming up. Also, female students abducted in Nigeria have been rescued. And scientists have found a new strain of the coronavirus in South Africa. All these and more ahead on Africa News Tonight. We start with our top story. The police in Katsina State in northwest Nigeria have rescued 84 female Islamic students abducted by bandits on December 19th. The incident comes less than a week after the rescue of 344 secondary school students abducted in the state. A police spokesman says the students were returning from Maulud or Islamic celebration when the bandits attacked them in the Mahuta village. The spokesman also says the same bandits stole 12 cows and abducted 4 persons from Danbore village in the Funutua local government area of Katsina State. Gambo Issa is a superintendent of police and spokesman of the Katsina State Police Command. Gambo spoke to reporter Mike Mbonye about the rescue of the students. He says once the police got the information, they swung into action and rescued the students, stolen cows, and 4 other kidnapped victims.
Well, there are 2 incidences here. The first incident was that of Dampaure village in Funtua local government area, where at about 08:30 hours, the bandits went and attacked that village, rostled 12 cows and kidnapped 4 persons. While on their way coming to the forest, they have to pass through this Dandume area. And it was there they saw these girls coming out from this Maulud, and they took advantage of the situation and abducted them while they were taking them into the bush. We had the report and immediately we swung into action and mobilized and engaged them, and God was on our own side and we succeeded in rescuing all the victims.
What was the response of the police on hearing about the abduction of the 80 students?
The children were rescued at a particular location in a junction after Ungwara Al-Qasim. Remember, these Islamia school children were on Maulud procession coming down from Ungwara Al-Qasim while on their way to their village, Mahuta village. Exactly after Ungwara Al-Qasim, there is a junction that is called Gidambaba. That is where the security forces, the police officers, and vigilante group with the military engaged the bandits in a gun duel, and they succeeded in rescuing these 80 children. Not only that, they also succeeded in rescuing 4 victims of kidnap at Dampaure village in Funtua local government area with 12 cattle rostled cows.
What measures have the police put in place to check future incidents or abduction of students in Katsina State?
Is that we are taking include engagements, because the worst aspect of this crime of banditry, kidnapping, armed robbery in this area is that of the informants. Informants are really the one that are really setting us back on the issue of this fight, because without the bandit getting the necessary information, the necessary support and logistics, there will not be anything like banditry. These arms that are going into the forest, where are they taking them from? Which road are they passing with these arms and ammunition? What of the food items, the logistics, the fuel that they use in their motorbikes? Because these motorbikes, one of their sources of movement, they use motorbikes in perpetrating their nefarious acts. How are they getting the spare parts, the tires, the tubes, whatever, in repairing these motorbikes? Who are the people that are helping them to supply them with these motorbikes? The food items. People that are staying in the forests, how are they getting food? How are they getting other essential commodities, including even alcohol and even other noxious substances like tramadol and what have you? Because people that are inside from the outside, members of the public, members that are staying with the communities, are benefiting from this banditry. And also the information, if you hear anything about somebody being kidnapped, there must be somebody who gave the information out to the bandits. How do they know? How will bandit know that somebody has just come back from Abuja, from Lagos, or whether you have an uncle who is a pilot driver, who is a pilot, who has money, so many other things. We've been receiving similar cases where people are abducted based on the report that some of their family members, well-to-do persons. Where did the bandits got all this kind of information? So these are the things that are setting us back, informants, and we are tithing, we are engaging the community leaders, the religious leaders, including these Meete Allah groups, because they are very important stakeholders. Don't forget that these bandits have been identified to have come, majority of them, to have come from a particular ethnic group. So we are not leaving them out. The imams, also the farmers, we are engaging them, collaborating so that the principles of community policing will be entrenched in our system.
That was Gambawisa, a superintendent of police and spokesman of the Katasina State Police Command. He was speaking with journalist Mike Mbonye. Cameroon says hundreds of Central African Republic civilians have fled across the border in the past few days to escape election-related violence. Bangui is holding elections on December 27th, and those fleeing into Cameroon say sporadic clashes are already breaking out. Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports from Cameroon's eastern border town of Garoua Bulai.
Local residents say Garoua Bulai's public square in the past 4 days is seeing an unusual influx of civilians from the neighboring Central African Republic. Grégoire Vongo is the governor of Cameroon's East Region, which includes Garoua Bulai. He says about 1,000 people crossed over into Cameroon since Friday to escape violence in the lead up to the Central African Republic's December 27 election.
Je suis venu à Garoua Bulai un dimanche avec tout le staff régional de sécurité.
Vongo says the situation in CAR is very troubling. He traveled to Garoua Bulai on Sunday, he says, and ordered the military to porous border areas to limit the spillover into Cameroon from the new wave of fighting. Among those who fled the Central African Republic is 32-year-old agricultural engineer Jean-Paul Nambobona. He says he trekked with his wife and 2 children through the bush before finding transport to Garoua Bulai. Nambobona says on the road, they saw many people struggling to leave CAR. He says he wants former President François Bozizé to remember that CAR has gone through very difficult moments and its civilians want a return to peace. On Saturday, the Central African Republic accused Bozizé of organizing a rebel alliance to attack the capital Bangui a week before the election. Bangui said UN peacekeepers dispersed armed rebels loyal to Bozizé who were occupying areas near the capital. Bozizé, whose candidacy for the presidential election was rejected, denied he organized any rebel attack. His opposition coalition on Sunday demanded the election be postponed due to the violence, but the government insisted the vote will go ahead. At a hotel in Garoua Bulai, 15 people who fled the Central African Republic listened to public broadcaster Radio RCA calling for peace. Speaking on Radio RCA, self-declared youth leader Rigobert Ngaisiu says that young people should not listen to rebels who call for taking up arms against the state.
Mes chers frères, journalistes de Centrafrique, l'heure est grave.
He says he is calling on the Central Africans, especially the youth, to be vigilant and patriotic because the threats to stability are real and serious. Ngaisio says it is imperative for everyone to contribute to stability in the Central African Republic. A government spokesman on Monday confirmed reports that Russia and Rwanda had each sent several hundred troops to the country. Rwanda on Sunday said its troops were in response to rebels supported by Bozize targeting its peacekeeping forces. Russia has been supplying the Central African Republic with arms and security contractors. CAR descended into violence in 2013 when Bozize was ousted by the Seleka, a rebel coalition from the Muslim minority, which accused him of breaking peace deals. But Bozize maintains a large following, especially in the army and among the country's largest ethnic group, the Baya. The December 27 election is seen as an important step in bringing stability to the Central African Republic. In the past 7 years of fighting, close to 1 million Central Africans have fled to neighboring Cameroon, Chad, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Nigeria. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Garua Bulai, Cameroon.
Scientists say a second, more serious wave of COVID-19 in South Africa is being driven in part by a new variant of the virus. Infections and deaths are spiking in the country that so far have been the worst affected by the pandemic in Africa. There have been more than 920,000 cases of coronavirus, with almost 25,000 deaths in South Africa. Darren Taylor has more.
South African genomic scientists are calling the new COVID-19 variant 501.V2. They've been analyzing coronavirus genetic samples from different parts of the country since the start of the pandemic. In the past few weeks, the samples have been dominated by a new lineage, as the scientists call it. South African Medical Association chairperson Dr. Anjali Kutsia says she expected South Africa's second wave of COVID-19 to be much like its first, but it's not.
We, as doctors, has already noticed that the last 2 weeks, the presentation of patients to the surgeries and in hospitals are different. And we were wondering about this, as it is not what we expected.
She says the surge of cases is putting immense pressure on hospitals around the country.
It seems as if your antibodies have difficulties in curbing this new different type. And this is like the black sheep of the family. You know the others, you know how they behave. You can fairly say, okay, this will do the following. But this black sheep, he's got different clothes that he's wearing. So he puts
Kutsia says doctors have noticed one major difference with regard to COVID-501.V2.
Where in the past, the younger people was not really that sick. We are now seeing that people, especially overweight people, round about the age between 20 and 30, are also now in ICU with severe inflammation from this virus.
The chair of South Africa's COVID-19 Advisory Committee, Professor Salim Abdul Karim, says the variation makes the virus slightly more transmissible.
We have always been seeing these lineages, and we know we've had quite a large diversity. And three or four of these lineages account for about a third to around 40% of all our viruses in South Africa. So we've used to the idea of high variability and different viruses spreading at the same time.
Professor Richard Lessels of the KwaZulu-Natal Research Innovation and Sequencing Platform in Durban is one of the scientists who identified the new variation.
It's highly unlikely that it would have any different clinical symptoms. There's no reason to believe that, and that wouldn't fit with our understanding. But one of our concerns is, could there be a difference in the progression of the disease, the more aggressive disease course?
Karim shares this concern.
It's still very early, but at this stage, the preliminary data suggests that the virus that's now dominating in the second wave is spreading faster than the first wave. It's not clear if the second wave has more or less deaths. In other words, the severity is still unclear.
Lessell says that lack of clarity is likely to persist for a while.
As we go into the second wave and we see this rapid rise in cases, clinicians are again faced with seeing a lot of patients in the hospitals and a lot of patients who are very sick. And so getting a sense of whether they're seeing a different disease course is challenging, and it needs us to look at the data very carefully and tease out some of the...
At the same time, a new variant of the virus is spreading in South Africa. A different COVID-19 mutation is circulating in Britain. That variant appears to spread more easily than other versions, although it's not yet clear if that makes it more dangerous to those it infects. The new turn in the pandemic in South Africa is causing anxiety that the vaccines to be rolled out in the country in the near future won't be effective against COVID variant 501.V2. Scientists are convinced they'll work, but can't say for sure yet. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
The international police organization known as Interpol today said a joint operation coordinated with the United Nations arrested several suspected terrorists and seized more than 40,000 sticks of dynamite and detonator cord for illegal gold mining. Interpol says illegal mining is a new source of funding for armed groups in the Sahel. The joint 7-day operation also targeted smuggling hotspots at airports, seaports, and land borders in Burkina Faso, Ivory Coast, Mali, and Niger. Niger, Mali, and Burkina Faso particularly have experienced repeated attacks by militants over the past decade. Interpol Secretary General Jurgen Stark says the trafficking in firearms is a lucrative business, which in turn fuels and funds other types of serious crimes. The latest operation, he said, showed the need to connect the dots between crime cases involving firearms and terrorists across different countries. Interpol, based in Lyon, France, has 194 member countries that cooperate on international crime investigations. Human-caused climate change, pollution, overfishing, and other factors are threatening the ocean's ecosystems on which all life ultimately depends. VOA's Adam Phillips spoke with marine ecologist Jane Lubichenko, distinguished university professor at Oregon State University and one of the leading scientists advising the 14 nations that make up the high-level panel for a sustainable ocean economy. She began by explaining why the current state of the ocean is grim as a result of climate change.
As a result of climate change, the ocean is higher, it's warmer, it holds less oxygen, and we are seeing more and more heat waves in the ocean.
And what are some of the consequences of those factors?
The consequences of those are multiple. We're seeing bleached coral reefs. We're seeing economically important species being challenged with the increased acidity in the ocean. The ocean is 30% more acidic than it was 100 years ago. But it's also being strongly affected by overfishing, by pollution, nutrient pollution, and toxins, and plastic pollution. And finally, the ocean is being massively affected by development along the coastal margins and habitat destruction on the seafloor.
That's a huge problem for ocean creatures, both large and small.
And it's a big problem for people as well, because the health of our economies, the health of our societies, the availability of nutritious food are all dependent directly on the health of the ocean. The ocean is in trouble, and therefore so are we.
Every living thing is dependent on the ocean.
Yes, the ocean really is central to all of life on the planet. The ocean drives much of the weather systems on the planet. The ocean absorbs over 90% of the excess heat that we generate and has been really doing humanity a favor in keeping the planet from being even warmer than it might have been otherwise.
I'd like to know more about practical ways that climate change on the ocean affects people. For example, I'm told that when the ocean heats up, the fish move to cooler or deeper waters.
That has a very serious consequence for fishermen and women who might have to go much farther to catch what they would normally be catching just right off their coastlines. For people inland, they might think about their weather patterns that they experience even in the middle of a continent are strongly affected by the ocean and how warm the ocean is. The patterns that we see emerging in terms of more extreme storms, more floods, more droughts, more tropical cyclones that are more powerful and more destructive, all of those impacts on people through the climate system are in large part a function of what happens in the ocean that is in turn affected by how much carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases we are putting into the atmosphere.
And what about Africa, which I know has more regular coastline than any other continent?
So the African continent has suffered many of the impacts of overuse, overexploitation, in particular depleted fisheries, both from lack of adequate fishery management, but also from illegal fishing and from overfishing from foreign fleets, as is the case other places in the world, which is one reason that I firmly believe in the importance of robust fishery management so that we can actually have our fish in the ocean, but have our fish on our plates too. We have ignored the benefits of healthy coastal and ocean ecosystems. And now we are realizing, only when we're losing them, how much we're losing.
Marine ecologist Jane Lubichenko is a leading scientific advisor to the nations that make up the High-Level Panel for a Sustainable Ocean Economy. Those nations include Kenya, Ghana, and Namibia. It links the development of best ocean sustainability practices to their economies and the future welfare of all peoples and the planet. She spoke with VOA's Adam Phillips in New York. We'll have part two of that discussion tomorrow. And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voanews.com. On behalf of our producer, Mokbilia Baro, thank you again for tuning in and choosing the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international.